Frozen at the bottom of the world, Antarctica is almost devoid of plants and animals. But in some ice-covered lakes, a stubborn ecosystem of bacteria and algae manages to cling to life. Those primitive ecosystems fascinate biologists. These scientists aren't going to cure cancer, and they'll never win the Nobel Prize. But like the organisms they study, they are stubborn and resourceful. NPR's Richard Harris traveled to Antarctica to discover what this special breed of scientist is trying to learn.
John Priskiw is standing on the icy crust of Lake Bonney. He is in the bowl of a valley ringed by glaciers and rock-strewn mountains, and he is burdened by a sense of urgency. He has just today arrived at the lake with precious little time to accomplish a lot. He has helpers in the field, but this is no time to delegate.
We need to do some manual labor now. So, here's where the fun starts. It's called field work. It's what we're here for.
Priskiw is dressed in a bright red jacket to ward off the wind. He picks up a steel bar and starts chipping away at a skin of ice that covers over a hole in the lake's thick icy crust. He's clearing the ice away to remove some old scientific gear that has been in the lake for the past year. These funnel-shaped sediment traps have been collecting particles that fall through the water. After he's cleared out the hole, Priskiw pulls the traps to the surface and unscrews the bottles that contain particles from the lake.
This is leaking a little. You want to get it in there? Or?
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you set it over here?
The sediment traps tell Priskiw a lot about the lake. He can inventory the carbon here, which is the major currency for life. He can capture particles that are drifting down through the water. And he can capture samples of the organisms that live in the lake.
See, now this looks real gravelly.
Yeah, it does.
Just like everything else, Mark, the sediment trap data are bizarre. And the species in the traps are wild, too.
Priskiw says almost nothing lives in Lake Bonney, just bacteria, algae, and an occasional single-celled creature.
That's it. There are no fish or higher zooplankton. Nothing you can see.
So it's about as simple as you can get, I guess.
I don't know if it's simple.
Jack, is this a simple system? Huh? See, all these people are some of the best scientists in the world studying these lakes. And what appears to be simple because there's no fish and there's no exchange of the atmosphere and very little river flow to complicate things, advection and whatnot. It's not turning out to be that way.
Priskiw has a soft spot for organisms that can survive in extreme environments. If life forms exist on Mars or Jupiter's icy moon Europa, Priskiw imagines they would have to use similar tricks to survive.
These organisms have to handle a lot. They have to handle freezing and thawing. I mean, the maximum temperature in the lake is just barely above freezing. There's hardly any light, so they're just eking by.
Priskiw's passion is to figure out how they do that. He probes the question with as many different tools as he can. This year, he's really ambitious. He's hoping to bring in a major new instrument to study life in the lake.
So is this where the big guys are going in?
The big guys are super deluxe sediment traps. They will provide much more detail than the ones he's just pulled out. They are automated, so they can sample lake particles month by month instead of just collecting one sample throughout the year. They're also a lot bigger, so Priskiw needs to melt an industrial-sized hole in the ice to get them into the lake.
Yeah, this is a steam cleaner. What we did is took the gun off it. We circulated through copper coils, and it melts the ice. How long does it take? Well, how big a hole do you want?
Priskiw figures this job will take a day or two. That's assuming, though, that the melter keeps running around the clock. The melter is working for the moment, so Priskiw adjusts his crampons and heads back toward shore. The camp at Lake Bonney consists of a Korean War vintage Quonset hut. Barrels and crates rest next to a helicopter pad that's made of timber, and backpacking tents for sleeping are perched nearby on the rocky hillside. He surveys the scene and declares that it feels good to be here.
This is where we're supposed to be. Home. Does it feel like home?
Oh, you bet. It's been over a year of my life out here. Oh, at least a year.
He's been coming to the lake for 17 years. In fact, he's such an institution here, there's even a glacial stream named after him. Priskiw looks at home on the lake. His skin is tanned by years out of doors, and even his haircut fits the scene. It's a Montana mud flap, short in front, long in the back. It has taken him nearly 2 weeks to get here from Montana State University in Bozeman, first by commercial jet, then cargo plane, and finally helicopter. Equipment also has to take that long trek. Back in the Quonset hut, Priskew's ears tune to a familiar sound. He looks out the window and winces. Two wooden crates are swinging and spinning wildly under a red and white helicopter. Those are his new sediment traps. A few years ago, a helicopter dropped a piece of equipment that was being delivered to this camp, smashing it to smithereens. Priskew grabs a radio to guide this load in safely.
Roger that. The hut we're looking at is the one that's just off your left now. It's the farthest to the east. Over.
Roger, copy. The easternmost hut is where you want it at. Okay. We'll drop the tripod, one box there, and then we'll take the other box on over to the west slope.
That sounds good, and I'm not sure I'm...
The helicopter fights a stiff breeze, but it manages to lower the load gently onto the lake near a red hut. The co-pilot scrambles out and unhooks the box. That's one less worry.
You know, okay, we're going to need either to put that burner on these hoses. Yeah, this trombone's got strip threads.
But the next morning, Priskew discovers the ice melting machine out on the lake has broken down. He pulls out his trusty Leatherman multi-tool, eager to practice his skills in small motor repair, but there's not much he can do without tearing down the whole apparatus.
I made these things too safe. No moving parts exposed.
But he refuses to give up. A graduate student buzzes back to the camp in the all-terrain vehicle to get more tools. They cobble together a replacement.
This is all in a day's work?
Pretty much. And when you're doing this, when it's 50 below, it's even more interesting.
Jeez.
You can't bend a wire. You can't bend these electrical wires. They won't bend, they snap. So you gotta have heaters blowing all the time. So when someone always mans a heater.
After a few hours of struggle, the melter is back in business. Noontime Sunday rolls around, and Camp Bonnie starts to feel like a fishing camp without the fish. There is simple joy in being out here on a camping trip to this remote and beautiful part of the world. Camp Bonnie may technically belong to the National Science Foundation, but right now it feels like Priskew's private domain. He takes his place at the cooking stove to whip up a large batch of his trademark crepes.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Mm. You do this every Sunday when you're out here?
I try, and if we're not working all night or something.
Sunday brunch.
It's a chance for Priskew and his colleagues to catch their breath and reflect a bit before they head out for another long day on the lake.
I went into biology so I could be a field biologist, and here I am. I'm a field biologist now, and you take everything that comes. You got to do carpentry, you got to be a mechanic, electronics, a cook, a medic, and then when all that's done, you can do some science on the end and try and figure out the scientific aspects of it. So it's a in a package, it's totally stimulating, and it just keeps drawing you back.
How much are you drawn out to Lake Bonnie because you sort of expected it to be simple, and I guess it's fair to say this lake is not giving up its secrets easily. Do you feel like it's you versus the lake in some sense?
No, I don't ever post myself against nature. I'll never win that one. I know better than that. It's a system that definitely yields questions that have intrigued me and draw me back year after year. And I guess this is true in any science. The more you know, the less you know, and the more questions you have.
Finding answers takes patience. Another entire day passes while Priskew waits for the ice to melt. Finally, he's ready for the big event. From the red Weatherport hut out on the lake, he radios up to the base camp for help.
Lake Bonnie, Weatherport.
Yeah, go ahead, Weatherport.
We need some muscle.
I'll be on my way.
Tell him to grab a bottle for a toast afterwards.
Okay, we can take the plastic off of this. Ta-da!
The sediment trap is essentially a huge yellow funnel in a metal cage with collecting bottles at the bottom. It weighs 175 pounds, and it's really supposed to be lowered off the side of a ship with a crane, not lugged around by hand. But working in Antarctica means mastering the art of improvisation.
The best place to grab is along this. We can get two over there, one over here.
Christine Foreman, Craig Wolf, Aaron Hall, and Scott Connolly carry the instrument to the hole that they've melted in the ice, and Priskew smiles and shakes his head as he gazes down.
What a nice hole. That is just amazing.
The hole is 4 feet wide, and it slices through 12 feet of ice that floats atop this lake. They hoist the sediment trap above the hole on a steel tripod and slowly lower it into the frigid water.
Okay, how's that feel, Scott?
Hey guys.
You need to add someone else on the rope?
Okay, got it.
Keep tension on it, because it's gonna have to fill up before it will drop down, so it's gonna suck it down.
Do another person on it?
It will go.
At first, the instrument floats, but it gradually fills with water.
It's gonna drop pretty quickly here.
Yep.
You ready, Scott?
Here goes. Okay. Did you feel it? That's it. See you next year, buddy.
Yahoo!
That moment of joy caps off a lot of work to collect just a few teaspoons of lake particles. And Priskew is honor-bound to share what he retrieves with other scientists who study Lake Bonnie. At this moment, that seems like a raw deal.
I'm going to sell these sediments.
His crew laughs, because of course he won't. The rewards for this work are strictly intangible. He's trying to gain a deeper understanding of something that most people on Earth haven't even heard of. And that's what drives him to the frontiers of the Earth and the frontiers of biology. Richard Harris, NPR News, Lake Bonnie, Antarctica.